She wanted to make the trip. She said, Dad, can I go with you? She actually said, Daddy, can I go with you? I like that, right? Daddy, can I go with you? I said, yes, you can.
No, I try to stay out of politics.
Well, once in a while, he'll say things, and I'll tell him he could probably do with ratcheting it back.
I advise my father on a plethora of things.
Your biggest fan is peeking around the corner over there, but it's your husband, I think he is.
Come.
Oh, come on,
out.
Jerry, come
there
on.
There he is.
Hello and welcome to TrumpCast. I'm Virginia Heffernan. TrumpCast is the show about the trudging, bellowing, golfing global migraine known as Donald Trump. But today we're not talking about the president, or not directly. We're talking about his progeny, and specifically, the lovely and talented Ivanka Trump, child of his first wife. Swan-necked, wide-eyed, no-nosed, a delicate chin and platonic female figure scalpeled out of tender, teenaged flesh. That carriage, that single-process blonde hair with honey highlights, that strange, affected but not uncharming way of talking, and those men, all around her, all in hot water and getting hotter. The brother, the husband, and that high-placed father. Does Ivanka feel like the walls are closing in? Does she ever toss, turn, pace, turn to benzos, or at least a mascara-preserving fit of weeping? And is she herself in big, big trouble? We'll be back to talk to Sarah Ellison, a writer for Vanity Fair, about Ivanka Trump. But first, this message. With me in the studio to talk about Ivanka Trump is Sarah Ellison, a writer for Vanity Fair, whose piece in the current issue is called Exiles on Pennsylvania Avenue, How Jared and Ivanka Were Repelled by Washington's Elite. Sarah, I'm so glad to see you.
It's great to be
here.
We're
due for a coffee, but we're going to pretend this is
this is a close second.
Social life. So we're talking about what we would probably be talking about over coffee anyway.
Indeed.
Which is Ivanka Trump. How is she just known? I saw you in your great Vanity Fair piece about her and her husband, Jared Kushner, last month. You just say favorite child.
They all say that. I mean, they said that. It's a strange thing. If you have children, you think you're not supposed to tell them which one is the favorite. And most people don't really have favorites. But in that first 60 Minutes interview that they did, they were asked, with all the kids sitting there, who is your dad's favorite? And I think it was Don who said, it'd have to be Ivanka. And she just sort of giggled. And I was like, yeah, that's true. I mean, I think that that is something that they admit. And I don't know what the origin of that is, although I can speculate that when their mother is Ivana Trump, and that was Donald Trump's first wife, when they had this really ugly divorce, Don Jr. didn't speak to his dad for about a year. And he really kind of was angry with him. And Ivanka writes about this in her first book, Trump Card. She talked about how she felt like her dad was, it made her kind of want to hold him even closer because she felt like he was slipping away. And what was odd about that is in her anecdotes talking about how she said her father was an unconventional father. And this is kind of, I think what's so interesting is that they like kind of, they present their family life as just like something that is. It's like not to be questioned. It's not to be questioned that she's the favorite child. It's not to be questioned that he was an unconventional father. And the way that he showed his love for them was to always accept their phone calls when they called him at work. And then he would say that she's, you know, whoever was in the room, he would put her on speakerphone and he would say, isn't she beautiful? This is my beautiful daughter. She's doing so great in school. La, la, la. That was the kind of closest that it got. Anyway, so that's a kind of, but yes, she's the favorite daughter, favorite child. And pre-surgery, she was still her father's favorite child. They were living in New York. And she became kind of, you know, she was growing up in New York. She appeared in this Born Rich documentary, which was sort of the first time that she kind of was a known figure. And the documentary interviewed a lot of like heiresses and scions. And she was the only, well, they were kind of no good Nick kids that were kind of bratty and as one might expect.
Yeah.
And she was the only one who said, I'm really proud to be a Trump. And she came off as sort of much more mature than the other kids in that documentary, which makes you feel like she never had this ability to just kind of like tell her dad to fuck off or something, you know? Like she was not able to just be kind of rebellious in a way that, because there was this horrible divorce that happened on the cover of Page Six and played out over weeks and weeks and weeks. And so she, instead of getting angry with him for that, she sort of felt like he might be slipping away, so that she had to kind of conform to what it was that he wanted her to be.
But now she may have some conflict. So she, not only is she the favorite daughter in the family dynamic, but she's also so favorite that she is an official advisor to the president.
Right.
Sometimes people say unofficial. Is she, what I want to know, is she on the taxpayer payroll? Are we?
Well, she is an official employee.
Okay.
And she sort of backed into that role because she wanted to be an unofficial employee, or an unofficial advisor. But then if she was going to email with her dad, she needed to have an official White House email. And then in order to have that, she actually needed to be an employee. She's not taking a salary. And that's something that is pointed out with some regularity when you talk about her or Jared. Neither of them takes a salary.
They, public service is what motivates them.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually something that galls people who are public servants and have been for a long time, who have to work for a living, because they're reminded about Jared and Ivanka that they gave up this wonderful life and they came to Washington, and everybody should be so grateful that they did this. And it just, that's what came out again and again in my piece when I was talking to people in Washington, is they were just like, who do you think you are? What, we don't need you here doing whatever it is you're doing. But back to her official role.
Yeah.
She moved to Washington the same day that her father did. Her husband, Jared, was a very close advisor during the campaign. He was much more kind of in the day-to-day strategic decisions. Jared was kind of the only person working on the campaign, along with Hope Hicks and Corey Lewandowski at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So Ivanka has told people that she moved to D.C. as much for Jared as for herself. But mm-hmm. She also says that she and her father have always worked side by side.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the impression that this wasn't going to be any different. So she has a office in the West Wing. She is a senior advisor to the president. She and her husband both work there every day, right next to her dad.
So I want to know a day in the life of Ivanka Trump, because actually I've tried to, I hate to invoke this, but we're both mothers. And that's not to, like, you know, say that that's some holy role, but it has some practical challenges associated with it. Does she have, and she has a very young, what, 1.5-year-old or something.
Yeah, she has a young, Theodore is young.
Theodore is
maybe two. He might be two.
Wasn't he born during the campaign?
No, he's one. He's one. Yeah, he was born on the campaign.
Right. So she was postpartum for a lot of the campaign. I just want to get some details here. How off, she goes in and gives birth and then she's back in shape and
almost right away,
ready to go. Does she have a battery of nannies? How is she getting to G20 summits and with, does she see her children? That's my question.
Well, do you follow her on Instagram? Because you would know if you did that she does see her children. So yes, there were rumors. You know, I did a piece on Ivanka and Tiffany Trump back in December, and there was the question. I mean, women are, who are all like, you know, they're getting their kids ready in the morning and like dropping them off with peanut butter on your lapel.
Yes.
And like, you're just like, what the hell? How does this actually happen?
Yeah.
She does have nannies. She also, she gets up. I mean, she apparently gets up at like 5 a.m. to try to exercise before the kids wake up.
Right.
I don't know if that's still happening or if that was sort of, she took a break from that a little bit during the campaign because things were too busy. She weirdly also has her mom's parents who are with them a bunch. And I always feel like that the key to all the good things about, or any good things, I should say, about Ivanka come from Ivana Trump, who also, when she had her kids, was like next day on site at the construction sites of the Trump properties and was just kind of like a Czech immigrant who was working really, really hard and worked her butt off and was never somebody who, like, she got a great settlement after the divorce because she helped build that business. And I do think that there's like an enormous, enormous amount of discipline for Ivanka.
Okay. So we started out with this impression that Ivanka and Jared, since they had once been registered Democrats,
right,
would be moderating influences on their father, both in his politics, mm-hmm. like might introduce, I don't want to, you know,
overstate you're right. It, but you're doing it.
She would, the virtues of, say, liberal democracy or just democracy. And it maybe the U.S. Constitution would come into it sometimes in her moderating influence. That's out the window. And even she recently said,
right,
yes, I'm a senior advisor. Yes, I have an office in the White House. Yes, I have forfeited my salary to serve my nation. But I have virtually no influence on my father.
And that was an unrealistic expectation.
Right.
If he was elected, I was not elected. And I want to tell the majority of white American women who voted for Donald Trump that Ivanka was not elected, actually. She's not the president. It's Donald Trump. But Ivanka had this incredibly important role during the campaign, which was to show up. And she's sort of the opposite temperamentally of her father. Mm. She was really appealing. She is appealing as mm-hmm. a human being. I mean, she sort of is more normal in some ways than you would expect her to be.
She's kind of smart, right? Where her husband, Jared, was not maybe a great student, although fortunately had a nice financial assist getting into Harvard.
Indeed, indeed.
But she graduated cum laude from Wharton. We can't take that away from her.
We can't take that away from her. Although she did say on her book jacket cover initially that she graduated magna cum laude.
And as we all, there are three tiers. Summa's the one she knew. She missed.
Right.
Magnus, the one she faked, and cum is the lowest of those Latin honors anyway, but she got that one. And
And if you talk to people who knew them in New York, she is smart, or she seems smart,
yeah,
which I think is the most overused adjective that people use to describe people who are generally not. I'm trying to find a word that isn't offensive to describe like somebody who's just not smart. But anyway,
she's read a book. She has an affected and somewhat interesting way of talking. Like when she said, "I'd have no influence," she said, "shy of turning him into a liberal Democrat," something like that.
Yeah, she's very practiced in the way that she speaks.
Yeah,
and I think that she's the kind of person who's never heard of just use the simplest word to say what it is that you want to say because that's the most effective way to communicate. She sort of does. She uses like a $10 word when a nickel one would do.
Yes.
But she came in with a lot of goodwill. Like, they remember those days back in the transition after Trump was elected and the country was sort of shell-shocked and people were flocking to Trump Tower and it was Leonardo DiCaprio and Al Gore and she was going to potentially be the climate czar, which is also something that now she completely disavows and says the climate was never really her issue.
Right,
that she's
okay.
been a longstanding champion of women. She has this company, Ivanka Trump, her brand that is like a licensing brand for shoes and like rayon separates and things like that. And
women wear rayon separates.
Totally.
I've worn a rayon separate.
I mean, that's all
time.
I do all the time.
So that is a women's rayon separates are a women's issue.
And they were.
As they say
and
in Beijing.
And women go to work in those things. They go to work in those things. Yes, it's women's rights or rayon shirts. But the point is that she does. So she sort of has figured out this way or she initially she was trying to she certainly took those meetings. She had a lot of people were thinking, well, this guy who's run a campaign that's completely nativist and scaremongering and racist, that doesn't seem like her. And we should go in and talk to her about all these issues that she believes in climate change. I mean, she thinks that's a real thing.
Radical.
She thinks that women should not be publicly shamed for gaining weight. She thinks that maybe they should work and maybe they should get maternity leave.
Yeah.
So that was like, that was her thing.
She's basically Antifa. I mean, she's got
totally
a gun. So she is, and yet those things have not really played out in this moderating influence. She's moderated the optics a little bit. I remember she gave some interviews saying he's not a racist.
I mean, she's always said, like, my father has always been wonderful to me. I'm a woman, and he's always been, you know, I would not be the woman I am today without my father.
Right.
And so she did go to bat for him at key moments when, for example, when he seemed like unrepentant sexist, misogynist, she was the proof that he wasn't.
Right.
That he had sort of supported her. She's his favorite child, after all.
Right.
So he picked the girl over the boys.
Yeah.
And that was some kind of evidence of that. And I think that there
he also thinks she's the hottest.
So, hot enough to.
Yeah, as he told Howard Stern.
Right.
This is when we're into the carnies, you know, around our president. And you know, she's a reality star in the sense that, you know, she's in Us Weekly and so on.
Totally.
And she looks like, you know, she has a public falling out with Chelsea Clinton, or at least they're frosty to each other now, having been close friends. But this is serious stuff we're talking about. So the president just said to the UN that he wants to totally destroy North Korea. I want to quote him right. I wanted him to say something about smithereens. He did not. Said totally destroyed. And what is that like for Ivanka Trump, literally on the ground? So did she, when that quote, you know, surfaced an hour and a half ago, does someone pull her aside and tell her, do they keep her from that's chilling news that, at least as an American citizen, she, a person who wants to stay alive and keep her children alive, she might object to. Do they, is there a publicist? Is there a,
there is a
best friend Gail kind of on hand?
No. So the people, well, so first of all, in the White House, she and Jared share a public relations person, Josh Raphael, who used to work for Blumhouse Productions and promote horror movies. So there was sort of like a joke about how he had gone from horror movies to the White House.
Oh,
and it
right.
was going to be a very easy transition. He handles all their, he handles like the official part of their press. There, yeah. There's like somebody else in New York who handles kind of unofficial stuff, who used to work for Jared's company. But for Ivanka on the inside, her closest sort of allies and friends are Dina Powell, mm-hmm. who was initially brought in as kind of her chief of staff and then moved over to be the deputy at the National Security Council, which is actually a real job.
Mm-hmm.
And she works for H.R. McMaster. And so Dina is a real ally. But for something like this, where mm-hmm. he says, I'm going to blow them to smithereens.
totally destroy. Would not want to exaggerate.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know how she heard specifically about that, but she would hear about it. I mean, she hears about a bunch of things on Twitter. Like she's kind of like the rest of us in some ways. Like he does not tell her what it is that he's going to tweet. Like the Charlottesville weekend.
Yeah.
He said what he was going to say without really consulting her.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing about Ivanka, so just to say, she has somebody inside who can say, like, this is what your dad said, but no one in the White House knows what Donald Trump is going to say beforehand. And then he does it, and then they all are kind of like chattering around.
So we don't exactly know, but isn't the horse out of the barn on her being a moderating? She's not going to jump in and sit down with Lester Holt and say, he doesn't mean totally destroy North Korea.
No,
she's never contradicted him.
She's never, ever, ever contradicted him.
Mm-hmm.
So she gave these first interviews with Gayle King where she's always said, I disagree with my father on things. Of course I do. And mm-hmm. of course I give him advice. Well, when do you disagree with him?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that publicly. This is that she does disagree with him. She won't tell us about what. You just have to sort of trust that that happens and that that advice is heeded in some ways. And it would be worse if she weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pretty well-established kind of pattern where Donald Trump will say something horrible. And in the second day story or even the first day story, you will have somebody close to Ivanka and Jared saying that she advised him not to do that.
Mm.
And so there's a very, it's like a really well-oiled machine for her to kind of distance herself from those things, never publicly,
mm-hmm.
but kind of in the way that, you know, somewhat disastrously, like Gary Cohn lets it be known through surrogates that he was really bummed about the Charlottesville response.
yeah.
And that's bad for him. And that was overdone. But Ivanka never makes that mistake, that
yeah.
she never really is going to defy her father. But she sort of is also, the goodwill that she had built up was that she was actually going to do something. And now that she says publicly, and she actually comes out and says, I don't have any of that influence. It would be unrealistic for you to expect that of me.
Yeah.
Then people say, okay, then what the hell are you doing there? What's your qualification to be a senior advisor to the president of the United States?
Yes, yes.
Like, who do you think you are in this job? Why are there two of you there? Why are you mm-hmm. there and why is your husband there? What kind of experience do you have? Like, I understand that you like women. You want them to be able to make the same amount as men. That's actually not a unique position among other women. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's a thing that most sentient women also believe, and people who have a hell of a lot more experience than you do to do this have been doing it for a long time. So why are you there?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. And not only why is she there as an embellishment, because that has seemed like an open question from the beginning, but why is she there when it seems like she, or at least her husband, have some vulnerability in the Mueller investigation? I mean, does she feel, I know that it's, I always ask, where are these people's beating hearts? And I've decided that I have to black box that question because the answer is not forthcoming.
Compartmentalize.
Yeah. It's something somewhere else on a shelf with rayon separates is Ivanka's heart. But she must fear that the walls are closing in. I mean, virtually every day, he's not Paul Manafort, who we know is facing indictment, but Jared Kushner may not be close behind. I heard off the record that Chris Christie said he's saving Jared Kushner's father's prison uniform for him. And at least the chattering classes talk a lot about Kushner.
Right.
So
Definitely.
Her father.
And more than the chattering class. I mean, I think that it's a real thing.
Yes.
There's a real vulnerability on two fronts. One where what Jared said and what was his involvement in the Comey firing.
Mm-hmm.
And also what kind of advice did he give? That's the main thing. Then also what kind of advice did he give Donald Trump on this sort of famous Air Force One flight where they were coming up with the statement about what Don Jr. was going to say about his fateful meeting with the Russians about adoption, but mm-hmm. not really about adoption, about dirt on Hillary Clinton and about the Magnitsky Act. And what was Jared's advice on that about, like, should we lie? Should we not lie in the statement? You know, how is he involved in that? So there's a real, much more than for Ivanka, actually. There is real risk for Jared.
It's so she has a hell of a brother, father, and husband in this mix.
Yes.
So far, her sons are unscathed. I think they're all under 10.
Tiny, tiny people. But Arabella, their oldest sister, is the oldest one. She's like in maybe kindergarten or first grade.
Right. Yeah. That's the Mandarin speaker.
Yep.
So do you feel like, I mean, I would be terrified if the men around me and my employer, the president of the United States, my father, were talked about in this way. And I don't mean, you know, slagged off as having bad hair. I mean, right. like there may be prison stripes in someone's future, if not all of their futures.
Right.
What does that feel like? Like, does that wear on her? Is there Xanax?
Is there Xanax? That's in my next reporting assignment. I feel like that I haven't gotten to the bottom of. But I think that, one, I imagine that it is frightening for her. But the cocktail party conversation is that if Jared flips on Trump, which I don't think will happen,
right?
Where does Ivanka go? Who does she choose? Now, this is fully within the realm.
And they all might flip on poor Don Jr., but she doesn't.
Oh, for sure. That's done. That's forget it. He's not in the administration.
Right.
He can definitely be sacrificed. That's like a starfish arm that can just go away.
Wow. But there was, and you've written about sort of what happened with, like, on the day that the Don Jr. meeting surfaced, the meeting with Russians in which Jared Kushner was also present. You've written about their responses to
right.
that.
Right.
And they, I guess they circle the wagons, but which wagons? at that point, it was seemed possible that it was Jared Kushner who had leaked the news of that meeting.
Yeah. There was a strong, 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 strong rumor going around that Jared's lawyer, Abby Lowell, had leaked the emails. That's been denied. Like the whole thing is like, who's trying to throw who under the bus?
Right.
Let's save the listeners the like trouble of like trying to get to the bottom of this. But the point was, is that Jared and Ivanka were circling the wagons.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, weirdly in this situation, is the one who decided to kind of take it all on himself and said, I'm going to mislead everybody and put out a statement on Air Force One. From Air Force One, I'm going to draft Don Jr.'s response to these questions and tell everybody that, I mean, this is before the actual emails came out. This is when he was deciding to sort of make it a meeting about adoption.
Yeah.
And there were people who said, no, the emails are going to come out anyway. Just say what the meeting was and
right.
let's not have it be these days upon days upon days of embarrassing headlines.
Right.
And Jared and Ivanka know how to manage a headline. And so in that case, they were on the side of saying, let's just put this out and be straightforward about it.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump decided not to do that. And was giving Don Jr. advice not to do that. And that's what resulted in these like multiple days of, again, embarrassing headlines for the family and lots of drum beating about what actually happened in that meeting. We still don't know exactly what happened in that meeting. There were a lot of more people who were in that meeting than we certainly heard about on those first days. And the bottom line of that whole encounter is it was the beginning of the real tension of the Russia investigation. It was dividing, it was dividing father and son. It was dividing brother against brother in law.
Mm-hmm.
There were real, real divisions. And I think that we're seeing that even more, you know, today we have all sorts of headlines about like what the pressures of that investigation are really bringing on the campaign. But inside, Jared and Ivanka were, when you talk about circling the wagons, like they were the ones who were really intent. They were protecting themselves and they gave their advice to Trump. He didn't listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's what we are meant to understand.
Yeah. do you see Ivanka in any kind of legal jeopardy? I know there are, I mean, the things we haven't talked about, Jared at Project Alamo, you know, mm-hmm. orchestrating the digital mm-hmm. campaign, which now seems to be a potential source of
real
collusion
interest,
and,
yeah.
And real interest to Robert Mueller. Ivanka seems like she might be in a little bit of trouble, at least as an accomplice on the Eric Schneiderman front on the New York stuff.
Yes.
Tell me about the laundress Ivanka Trump.
Okay, the laundress Ivanka Trump. So here we're talking about the kind of, you know, the terrifying headlines that Eric Schneiderman is going to be able to investigate state crimes, which Donald Trump has no ability to pardon.
Right.
Because it's not a federal crime and he's not actually the state president. He is the United States president. So Ivanka was really involved in the business of, I mean, she was sort of managing the Trump business along with her brothers, and they were seeing the Trump. There's a sort of idea about that basically what the Trump business was a money laundering operation mm-hmm. for, it didn't matter if they lost money on the deals or if you lost money on the deal with the Trump, you came out with clean money.
Yeah.
And so it was a kind of go-to place for international money laundering.
The Trump organization.
The Trump
itself,
organization
right.
was a way that you could kind of like get clean money.
Yeah.
And the question about Ivanka, who was deeply involved in that business, is what did she know about the people that they were doing business with? Also, what were her representations about the business in terms of the way that they went about fundraising or representing their kind of occupancy rates and different things like that that you do in real estate?
Yeah.
And she was definitely, I mean, there she wasn't just Instagramming. She was in the trenches running the business. She was doing some sort of sketchy international deals. She was also deeply involved in the Trump Soho, which there are a lot of, I mean, there was an investigation into that. It was then dropped. There are questions about how that came about. So she's, yeah, I mean, there's by no means, and the way that Mueller is doing this investigation, he's not just looking only at, because he's brought in Schneiderman, he is looking at this whole other side of the operation and if there was any kind of actual connection to Russia through their business, and there was.
Mm-hmm. I guess the last question I have for you is, what about her legal team? She doesn't share a legal team with her brother. I mean, with her,
no.
her husband.
So she has, no, there were some headlines about how she was being added to Abby Lowell, like Abby Lowell was adding her as a client. And
yeah.
then that was then clarified. That
and Jamie Gorelick, right? I mean, we're talking
Jamie
about
Gorelick, yeah,
these are they, people on the...
These are real people
yes.
who are actually real lawyers who were doing this.
Yes.
But the idea was that Ivanka has a confidential relationship with Abby Lowell, but that she is not represented by him.
Okay.
And that means that if they're in the house Instagramming and they say, hey, Jared, what about that Russian something or other mm-hmm. bag of sand, bag of dirt that you were given by the Russian... she can have, that's a privileged conversation.
Uh-huh.
So if she's there, it's not unprivileged. But she's, at
oh,
this point,
it.
She does not have her own lawyer. She does not have a lawyer that I'm aware of.
Oh, all right. A separate lawyer. So we haven't yet, if okay, so everything falls apart and it's brother versus brother. It's civil war in the house, in the White House. Who's, is there any image of this where she has to choose between her father and her husband? Certainly, we already decided Don Jr. is like hung out to dry.
Yeah.
Is there possibly my fantasy where she runs off with Ivana, Arabella, her grandparents to Prague?
Like, I'm leaving. Yeah.
And living in a feminist cult with women who work.
That would be kind of awesome, actually. That would be an amazing, that's like chapter two. We should really make a movie with that. No, that is not going to happen.
Okay.
It's going to be, I mean, if there's one person left standing in that White House,
yeah.
including Donald Trump, it's Ivanka.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you very, very much for coming. You're in the studio, by the way. We are hanging out in Brooklyn.
Here I am. We are. Metro Tech.
And literally, I think that's the exact conversation we would have had over coffee. So,
it's true. We might have talked about Charlottesville, too. But
true. Thanks very, very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for today's show. You've got one action item today. Follow us on Twitter. It's @RealTrumpCast. That's @RealTrumpCast on that microblogging platform known as Twitter. TrumpCast is produced by Jason DeLeon. I'm Virginia Heffernan, and thanks for listening to TrumpCast.